Well, happy Sabbath. I'm glad I got a little extra time because this is a pretty long chapter, but this is also one of those chapters that's greatly misunderstood by the general public, and it's also probably one of the more famous chapters in Revelation. But it's about the beast, the image, and the mark that you'll receive in your forehead and your hand. And so the reason why I'm doing this series is for those of us that are either new or are studying Daniel Revelation and don't have a solid foundation or understanding of what's happening. Most of what you're reading, or a lot of what you're reading, is symbolic language that if you don't understand the symbols, you're going to have a hard time understanding what's actually being said. But what happened was John was on Patmos and he was given these visions and was told to write down what he was seeing. And this was the companion book to Daniel, who basically foretold all this stuff as well, but they work hand in hand, okay? Most of the prophecies that are in Revelation, most people don't realize are already fulfilled. There are still a few that are basically on the forefront of them being fulfilled, and what we're going to talk about in this chapter is one of them. The mark. We have not received the mark yet, but it's coming. And so we're going to talk about that. The first three chapters of Revelation were the seven churches of Laodicea. And that basically was John telling the story from his time all the way to the end. And then in the subsequent chapters, which I'm not going to name all of them right here, because basically the way they tell the story is they tell the story, then they tell it again, but they add to it so that you get a deeper and a understanding of what's happening. Then they go back and they tell it again, and they tell it in a different way. And if you read the chapters and listen to the sermons that I've done before, you'll see that story being repeated, but in different ways. And you're basically being told a history story, which is the blessing that we have, is that we don't have to take this on faith. We can actually look back on history and see everything being fulfilled on time, just as God said he would. So in this sermon, we're going to go over the beast, the image, and the mark. So this is one thing, whenever we talk about the Catholic Church, I always want to say this. When we speak about the United States, are we talking about any one particular person? No. When we talk about the president, just in general, are we talking about any one particular person? No. So the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the same way. When we talk about the SDA Church, we're not talking about any one particular person. The same thing applies to Catholics. When we talk about the Pope and the Catholic Church and the Catholic system, we're not talking about any one particular person, even the Pope. It's not the particular person that's the Pope. We're talking about the seat of the Pope. We're talking about the power, the system of the Catholic Church through the Middle Ages up until today. And so for our Catholic brothers and sisters that's out there that may be listening to this, we know that God has people in every church. He has people that aren't even in church. He has people who are serving him who don't even know who he is yet, but they serve him because the law of God is in their hearts. So we love Catholic Church, but history is history, and we have to teach it how it happened and how it's happening today. All right, and so, like I said, this is one of those chapters that's greatly misunderstood. So if you'll open your Bibles, we're going to go ahead and start with Revelation chapter 13. I'll give you a second to open your Bibles. So we're, just like in the other sermons, we're going to read the whole chapter so you get the big picture, and then we're going to break it down verse by verse so you understand what's happening in every one of those verses, and the picture becomes whole because then you get the context of what's being said, and we get an opportunity to explain symbolic language. Okay, everybody with me?
Yes.
All right. All right, so let's start with verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and he causeth the earth to dwell, which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven to the earth in the sight of men. And deceiveth them that dwelleth on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword, and he did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, and or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Okay. Now, just imagine you've never read Revelation before. What did you just read? Right? This is why doing studies like this is important, especially when we're out trying to talk to people and spread the gospel. Most people, when they read Daniel Revelation, they are lost. They don't know what's happening. But if you can break down these chapters and these books in a way where they understand what happened, and then they can open up their history books, what a blessing, because now they can see prophecy fulfilled. A lot of people are like, show me a miracle. Show me something, the power of God. Well, I don't have to show you. Back in John's time, he foretold the next 2,000 years of what was about to happen, and you see it for being fulfilled. That actually happens a couple of times in the Bible where there's a prophecy and you see it fulfilled right on time, where it inconspicuous, and we're going to talk about one particular one here. So let's go ahead and let's break down 1 and 2. So let's go ahead and read it. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having the 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Here comes a great beast up out of the water. Remember when Daniel saw beasts coming out of the water? We are continuing on from Daniel's prophecies here in the book of Revelation. Take a good look at this beast. He has parts of all the other beasts. Like those beasts, they remind you of something else in Daniel, right? You see the same animals being represented. Take a good look at the beast, and as he has parts of all the other beasts, like unto a leopard, which was Greece, feet as a bear, which was Medo-Persia, mouth of a lion, which was Babylon, and the dragon gave him his seat, power, and his authority. Pagan Rome, and also Satan. Rome has beliefs and practices that come from each of these pagan powers. And if you remember, we talked about Constantine, what did Constantine do? When he made Christianity the religion of the land, right? Did he tear down all the statues and tear down all the practices and the things that were already in place? No, he didn't. What did he do? He renamed those gods for saints. He left the statues in place, and he just incorporated paganism into the Christian religion so that everybody would accept it. Right? That's what we're talking about. Notice also where John is situated in this vision. He is on the land, and he looks behind him to the sea, and he sees this beast. As he sees the parts of the beast, we notice that he is looking back in time at the same series of beasts that that is in Daniel in chapter 7 and was looking forward at. John sees first the 10 horns, the 10 kingdoms, and the blasphemous beast, Rome, then the leopard, Greece, then the bear, Medo-Persia, then the lion, Babylon, and the earth is before him from whence will rise the two-horned beast. This beast is coming up out of the sea. This is one of those symbolic languages here. The sea, which means it comes to power in a well-populated area. It has 10 horns and 10 crowns. So we know it is in the area that once ruled by the Roman Empire, which was broken up into 10 parts. And it has 7 heads. 3 of the original nations that took over the Roman Empire were destroyed, which leaves 7 heads left of the 10 nations, and we went over that in a previous sermon, in a previous chapter in Revelation. On these heads, we see the name of blasphemy, by claiming to be God on earth, by claiming to have power to forgive sins, by claiming to change God's laws, and many other ways. This Roman beast is a blasphemous beast, and the heads, or the rulers and nations, by accepting and honoring this power, also bring blasphemy on themselves. Now, here's one thing that you can really appreciate and respect the Catholic Church about. They don't actually try to hide what they did. They don't try to hide what they're about or what they claim. They boldly claim these things, and they boldly claim that this is what happened in their past. You can go read and study Roman doctrines, and you will see that they will plainly tell you that they changed God's law. They're not shy about that, okay? So, let's go to verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, that the deadly wound to this papal beast was given in 1798, when Napoleon sent his general Bertier into Rome to remove the Pope from power and throw him into prison. He died in captivity, and for 2 years there was no Pope. It seemed for a brief time that the papacy was dead forever. The original wording for wounded actually means killed. It was killed to death. It is very interesting that the order to remove the Pope was given more than a year before the 1798. And remember when we talk about prophecy? Things happen exactly when God says they're going to happen. It is very interesting that the order to remove the Pope was given more than a year before 1798, but somehow it just didn't get done until 1798. We know why, don't we? Because the prophecy said he would rule for 1,260 years, not 1,259. God's word never fails. As soon as another pope was placed on the throne, this power began to work to heal its deadly wound. The text says it will be healed. What has to happen before the wound is healed? Well, first we have to look at what ended at the close of the 1260 years. The Roman Church did not cease to exist. Shortly after, a new pope was elected. So was the wound healed then? No, it wasn't. You see, the beast power is a combination of church and civil government. The beast power was when the church had full control to use the civil government to force people to obey it and to persecute dissenters. After 1798, the Roman Church continued as a religion. But it no longer had the power to rule the governments and force them to work for it. It is trying hard to get this power back, and it is getting very close to it. And you can see that today. You can see the power realm growing. It's not completely back, but you see the pieces starting to fall into place. Oh, my computer don't want it to go dead on me. Hold on. All right. Here we go. All right, so let's go ahead and go to... Well, let me say this. All the world wanders after the beast. Do you see people get all excited whenever the Pope comes to visit? Have you seen when the Pope comes to address our Congress, our legacy, our government? He is beloved. And you would be shocked at how many people that lead our country are actually Catholics. It's happening. And it's been happening for a while. But yes, when you watch the Pope, he is held in high esteem around the world. And this is not to denigrate the Pope. I want to reiterate this to the Catholics watching. There are popes, there are Catholics that are serving God. But God's word will come to pass. There will come a pope that will lead us into this last part of God's history. Okay, so let's go into 4 and 6. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Okay, so prophecies are like a puzzle. God gives us clues, and when we put them together carefully, following what the Bible says, what the clues mean, we can see what he is telling us. These verses give us some more clues. They worshiped the dragon. Pagan leaders were worshiped as gods. Their head priest was called Pontifex Maximus, the great bridge builder. This name was passed on to the Roman emperors, and later, when one of the Roman emperors decided that he did not feel right to take this title, as it claimed control of the souls of men in life and death, the Bishop of Rome snapped it up, and the popes have been called pontiff ever since. Also, Satan, who is also the dragon, is worshipped either directly or indirectly by all pagan religions. So we see a power that had been worshipped giving authority to another power, which is also worshipped, that is Papal Rome. Who is like unto the beast? The kings of Europe during the Dark Ages well knew the power of the papacy. They were afraid to oppose her. In fact, once, when a king had offended the pope, the poor king stood barefoot and hatless for days outside the pope's palace in the wintertime so he could beg forgiveness from the proud pontiff. How different from the meek and lowly Jesus who even washed the feet of Judas. Back when the pope had his power, he had control over nations. The kings were afraid to oppose him because they would suffer the wrath of the pope. And if you go back to, like, I don't know how many of you studied this in college or you've read the history books, but he exercised that power. And when Britain tried to break away, like, these countries were made to pay a price. And so this, like, is who can oppose the beast? Okay, 5 and 6. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven, which is 5 and 6 here. Given unto him a mouth speaking blasphemies. To have a mouth in prophecy means to be able to pass laws. The papal power passed many wicked and blasphemous laws during her time ruling the world, ordering the Bible to be burned, and anyone who loved it to be burned also was one of these laws. 42 months. This is another reference to the 1260-year prophecy. He blasphemes God's name. In the Bible, God's name represents his character, what he is really like. The papacy, through her ideals of purgatory and eternal hellfire, made millions to look upon God as a monster instead of the loving father he really is. God's tabernacle by setting up human priests and telling everyone that they could be only saved through the church and its ceremonies. Rome spoke against the ministry of Jesus for us in the heavenly sanctuary. The church leaders stood like a wall, stopping the people from coming to Jesus, straight to Jesus. Them that dwell in heaven. There are so many weird and wicked stories told to the people by the Roman church that say false things about angels, Jesus, the God, the Holy Spirit, and so on. They also tell the people that all these old dead church leaders are now saints in heaven, and the people should pray to them. To pray to the dead in any form or offer gifts to them is to worship demons. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. And that's in Ecclesiastes 9:5. If they know nothing, then how can you pray to a saint, to John, to Mary, whoever, and they hear your voice and grant you your prayer, right? So who are you really praying to when you're praying to that entity? That's what we're talking about. You're praying to demons. And so this is just paganism in a nutshell. So let's go to 7:10. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of the faith of the saints. Here again, we have more clues. So many, in fact, that there really is not any other power on earth that this can be, but papal Rome. Here again, we see it persecuting and killing the true followers of Jesus during the 1260 years. Power was given to him during the 1260 years. This wicked power was allowed to pretty much do what it wanted to do. Satan can never say to God and the universe that his religion would have worked, but God didn't give him a chance to prove it. No, indeed, for 1260 years that religion ruled, and the effects on the world and on people and nations are written in history and in the books of heaven with letters of blood. Then we are told that all on earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. This is a very solemn, unless you have really given your whole heart to Jesus and serve him only, you will end up worshiping the beast. There is no other choice. It is now that we better decide for the right. The time will come later that we will no longer have the choice. So, captivity and the sword. Here is a warning from God. Not too bad the haughty post did not spend much time reading the Bible. They could have been warned that what would happen to them if they kept doing their wicked and cruel deeds. This has also given us more clues. For centuries, Rome threw the people of God into prisons. She sent armies with swords to kill them and drove them into hidden places of the earth. Then in 1798, armies were sent against her, and a military power threw the Pope into prison. In the upheavals during the French Revolution, the Roman priests and leaders were slaughtered by the people, just as formerly the church had slaughtered God's children. The people of God did read the Bible during those 1260 years of cruel persecution. Many were encouraged by God's promise that the persecuting power would have an end. This did give them patience and faith. So, we've also talked about the French Revolution and that whole bloody thing. I think it was over a year where they basically were slaughtering everybody. Innocent people, guilty people, until even they were like, okay, whoa, hold up. We got to stop. This is insane. And that was also the priest of the church. They had enough completely of everyone, and they slaughtered the papal priest. The bishops, the pontiffs, whatever. And so we're going to go to 11. But I mean, it's not karma, but it's like if you kill by the sword, you will be killed by the sword. Justice is coming for God's people. When God comes back, the dead for the dead, and he comes back and he destroys the earth, that will be God's justice to settle all accounts, all affairs. Can you imagine how many families and how many people have suffered by Satan's hands? How many families, people have seen their loved ones killed and martyred and cried out to God? Where is the justice? It's coming. It is his. Let's go to 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now we're coming up to modern day times. Here comes another beast, but this time it comes out of the earth. Now if the seas mean areas where there are lots of people, what earth would mean there were not many people? Did a power arise near the close of the 1260 years around 1798 in areas where there was not many people? And when we say many people, think Europe. Think the mass populations of Europe over there in Asia. Yes, it certainly did. And were these other beasts arose by way of the winds, that is, with war and strife? This power just quietly arose and grew in the late 1700s. It is the United States of America. It had two horns, like a lamb. These horns were the secret of his power and glory and represented the principles of civil and religious liberty. Republicanism and Protestantism also mean the same idea. It means that the power of church and state are separate powers. The church is not able to use the state to enforce her decrees, and the state is not allowed to interfere with the free exercise of conscientious worship. It is like a lamb. This means it is gentle, not harmful, and cruel as the other beast. Strangely enough, it is these very same two horns, civil and religious freedom, that keep the wounded head on the leopard-like beast from healing. And it still isn't completely healed to this day, but soon will be. How do these horns do this? Well, the concept that every man has a right to freedom and to be able to exercise his religious beliefs freely without hassle was a very new ideal in the world in the late 1700s, but it is just taken for granted now because it is spread throughout the world. This belief in the rightful freedom of man prevents the Roman beast from starting to slaughter heretics again as it would like to. Instead, it has to pretend to go along with the freedom idea, and it yells the loudest about freedom when its own rights are interfered with. But it really hates this idea that people should be free to serve God and not serve him as they see fit. During the Dark Ages, people accepted the idea that popes and kings had the divine right to force people to do whatever they wanted them to do. No one ever thought to question this, but now, because of the two horns of the American lamb-like beast, the world sees things differently. In order to come back into the despotic power, she had, I think my computer just went dead. Sorry, guys. The world sees things differently. In order to come back into this, okay, the Roman power had to play a very different game of strategy. Oh, and I was going to show you something very interesting. It's okay. If you want to see it, just find me afterwards and I'll show it to you. We see that something terrible happens. This helpful, gentle beast with its amazing two horns begins to speak as a dragon. To speak means to pass laws. So this power will eventually pass laws like a dragon, a persecuting power. Then its two horns will represent military and economic power, which it will use against those who refuse to obey it. So there's first, you see this innocent-like beast come up out of the land, and it's gentle, and it's basically the horns and the separation of state and religion, it's a beautiful thing. But then something happens. It starts to change. And it starts to actually do the same thing that the beast before it did. It starts to use its military and economic power together. For those of you who listen to politics, does that sound familiar? Have you ever heard of the United States using economic sanctions and military power to force our will upon other countries around the world? Doesn't matter the president or what size in power. Have you ever heard of that? starting World War II. It's happening today. How many, I didn't look this up, but just go look up how many countries we have put sanctions on, economic sanctions, and how we force them into doing what we want them to do. You don't think they can use that same power against us? Careful. Understand where the times that we live in. Okay? Let's go to verse 12. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. And he caused the earth and them which dwell to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Did you know that the power that the dragon represented besides Satan was pagan Rome? That power under Constantine passed the world's first Sunday laws. And we have those Sunday laws here. Yes, indeed, in the 300s, before papal Rome had received the seat and authority from the dragon, pagan Rome passed six Sunday laws after Constantine declared himself to be a Christian. When the lamb-like beast speaks like the dragon, it will pass laws to force all to keep the Sunday also. They don't have to pass these laws. They're already on the books. They're just not being enforced. This is not going to be a hard transition for them to do. Okay, and let's go to 13. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now we see this lamb beast working to force people to worship the leopard beast of Rome. It does this by passing laws which honor Rome, such as forcing people to worship on the Sunday, which Rome claims is its mark of authority. This lamb dragon power does great wonders. The USA has great technology and does wonders in the use of atomic power and so on. Also, there are many people arising that are performing miracles by means of demon spirits, but the people think the power is from God. It is interesting that the USA is promoting the ideals of evolution and rejection of the biblical record of Genesis throughout the world, while at the same time pointing to its scientific progress as evidence that she is right about this. America's brand of Protestantism is a mixture of evolution, pantheism, spiritualism, humanism, and situation ethics. This is why the lamb-like beast is also the false prophet. How do we know for sure the power behind these miracles is demonic? Well, the Bible tells us if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. When these miracle workers tell people to keep the Sunday and that they don't need to keep God's Ten Commandments, they show they are from the darkness. Many people think when anything happens that looks like a miracle, it has to be God who is doing it. Sadly, they don't read their Bibles, for we are told clearly that in the last days, miracles are going to be the sign of the false power that seek to force all to receive the mark of the beast. I want y'all to think about something. Have y'all ever seen them do those interviews with generation, like the generation that's younger than mine, Z, and the next one coming up, where they ask them very basic questions, and they don't have a clue? We are being dumbed down by programs on the internet, on TV and media, to the point we don't read anymore, and we sure aren't reading our Bibles. And we're very quick to listen to the media when they're lying to us. We're gullible. Where's our common sense? We've lost all forms of common sense. Basic things. So we're being fooled now with stuff that makes absolutely no sense. Men can have babies now. Okay? They believe this. The world isn't round. Okay? Basic things. Can you imagine a miracle happening and they tell you that you have to keep Sundays? How they're going to believe this? Even people who read their Bibles, who are Bible scholars, there are many of us that are going to be fooled. It is not. It's going to be child's play for the rest of the world. They're going to believe when the miracles start happening that that is from God. They're not going to understand. And when they get fully on board, that's when you're going to see a lot of stuff start to happen. So just pay attention to the younger generations, because that's where you're going to see things start to happen. People, these generations, most of them didn't grow up in the church like we did. And many of us have left the church, and they never really even, those our children didn't bring their children to church. So they're not Bible scholars. That's why we're even doing this series right now, is because people don't have a basic understanding of the Bible. People who have been going to church all their life do not read the Bible. They just listen to the pastor tell them what the Bible says. They don't actually read the Bible for themselves. They don't let the Holy Spirit teach them what's in the Bible and what's being said. So this is child's play for Satan. That's where we're at right now. And it's getting worse by the day. So let's go to 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of... Okay, I'll get that one. Let's do 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the beast, the image of the beast, should be killed. So here we see this power. Now speaking as a dragon, and is saying to all the world, let's make something that is a copy of the beast that was wounded. Let's make a copy of the papacy. What would be a copy that is an image of the papal beast? It would be when the USA starts to use civil government power and laws to force people to obey religious laws, just like Rome did in the 1260 years. Can the USA tell the world what to do? We see many examples lately that is starting to do exactly that. Since September 11th, 2001, the United States has been rising up and talking more proudly than ever before, just like the arrogant papal beast before it. It is exalting itself. Now it is getting ready to push its weight around, and it has a lot of weight. It's going to pass laws to force all people to not only keep Sunday, but also to break the seventh day Sabbath of the Lord. And those who won't obey them will not be able to buy or sell. This is the very method that the USA has been using for many years now against countries it doesn't like. Like, it makes economic sanctions and stops them from buying and selling until they have to give in. And you see it happening today. But God's true people won't give in. God's people, God helps them, and they stand firm for his Sabbath. So then the lamb dragon says they are all to die. A death decree is passed saying that on a certain day, all the Sabbath keepers are to be killed. At that time, God closes probation on this earth, and the plagues begin to fall on the wicked. Always remember, God's obedient people have nothing to fear, as he will help them and protect them, even as those who die as martyrs will be giving all the courage and help they need right when they need it. Jesus will hold their hand. That's where we're at right now. Watch politics not for the things that people watch politics for now. Watch for the events that are happening that are laying the foundation. That's what's important. Not who's in control or who's ruling or who we're at war with. Watch for the things that are laying the bricks for this thing to happen. And if you watch, you can see it. You can see it. All this digital currency and everything going digital. Why do you think they're doing that? Because then they can just cut you off whenever they don't like what you're saying or what you're doing. Then they can just seize your property like that. Because all they gotta do is punch a button on the computer. Let's not get into it. But they're wanting to surveillance everybody. They want to basically try to catch you doing a crime before you actually commit the crime. That's where they're trying to get to. They're trying to predict you committing a crime. So that's a whole different study and sermon, but watch the bricks being played, technology, how it's been played. What are they doing with it? Who are we going to war with and why? All these things are important. If we go to 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, say he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. What a lot of funny ideas people have about this mark on the hand or forehead. It is no mystery. The mark of Rome's authority is Sunday keeping enforced by law. This is the mark of the leopard beast, like beast. People get it in their hand when they agree to obey the power, not because they believe in it, but just so they can buy and sell and not be persecuted. They get it in their forehead when they really believe in it, because all the miracles Satan is doing to fool them, it isn't a visible mark, but rather a choice they make. That's why when we talk about the other mark, God's mark, it's just in the forehead because it's you make a decision to serve him. But this mark of the beast is in the forehead and the hand, because some people aren't actually going to believe. They don't believe in this, but they got a family they got to feed. You know, they got to put food on the table. They may not even believe in God. So what they're going to do is, well, I'm just going to go along with everybody else. And that's when they receive the mark in their hand. Others are going to actually be on board with what they're doing. And that's when they receive the mark in their forehead. In 17, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Notice the three groups, those who have the mark. That means those who keep Sunday, the Protestants, those who have the name of the beast, the Roman Catholics, and those who have the number of the beast's name, which is 666. This represents the pagan religions and the New Age movement, all of which have the number 666 somewhere in their ceremonies of worship. All three unite to persecute the true Sabbath keepers. And this is where I was going to show you how that number was added up, because a lot of people don't understand how the number is actually calculated up for what we're about to talk about. So in 18, here is the wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now here we see the famous number 666. Many people get mixed up and think that 666 is the mark of the beast, but it isn't. It's another clue. Here is how it works. In Latin, the old Roman language also used by the papacy, some letters are also used as numbers. This way, a person's name can often have a number by adding up what the letter numbers mean. A documented Roman Catholic source states, the letters inscribed in the Pope's mitre are these, Vicarius Filii Dei. And I was going to have this on the screen so you can see it, but I apologize. Which is the Latin for Vicar of the Son of God. Catholics hold that the church, which is a visible society, must have a visible head, the Pope. As head of the church was given the title Vicar of Christ, our Sunday visitor, Catholic Week, which is one of their publications, Bureau of Information in Huntington in April 18 and 1915. So when you take the letters that are also numbers in this name and add them up, it comes to 666. So if you take the letters of Vicarius, the V is 5, I is 1, C is 100, A is 0, R is 0, I is 1, U is 5, S is 0, and that comes to 112. Okay? So you have 112. Phile, F is 0, because some letters don't have numbers. Phile, you have I, which is 1, L, which is 50, and I, which is 1, and I, which is 1, which comes out to 53. So you have 112, you have 53. Then you have day. D-E-I. The D is 500, E is 0, and the I is 1, which is 501. So when you take 112, 53, and 501, add it up, comes up to 666. That's where that number comes from. A vicar is someone who takes another's place. Having the same authority as that person, vicar, the Son of God, means he takes the Son of God's place and claims the same authority. In Greek, the word anti or anti means to take the place of. So antichrist is not someone who is against Christ or a non-Christian power. It really refers to someone who claims to take the place of Christ or to stand in his place. That is exactly what the Roman power claims to do. There are many other titles used by the Roman power that also add up to 666. In fact, it is interesting that if you add up the Latin numeric letters that are also numerals, you get 666. And I would have showed you all this, but just for time's sake. So when you add it up, you get that number. Because in paganism, 666 is also used heavily. Have you ever seen people throwing up that sign right there? If you watch a basketball game, the refs throw it up when they hit a three because they see the three. But if you look at it, look at it closely. What are you actually seeing? You're seeing three sixes. You'll see this in your imagery. You'll see it in your publications. You'll see it because Masons use this as symbolism. Other pagan religions use this symbolism. Because remember, Catholicism is a mixture of what? Paganism and Christianity. That's where all this stuff comes together. All right? Now, like I said once again, are all Masons bad? Of course not. We're not talking about people. We're talking about powers, organizations. That's what we're talking about. So, in conclusion, that's what this chapter was about. This is a lot of people. You'll hear this. This is one of the more famous chapters that non-Christians use to just come up with the wildest ideas about what the mark is. They're going to implant a chip in your hand, which they are doing that, but that's not actually what that means. They think they're going to put a chip in your hand and you have to use that to buy and sell. But that's not actually what the Bible is telling you. The Bible is telling you you're going to make either a decision, one way or the other, you're going to make a decision. And either you believe in what you're making decisions for, or you don't believe in it, but you're going to do it anyway. That's what the mark in the hand is about. You're going to do it anyway because you want to eat. You want to buy groceries. You want to feed your children. But you don't want to stand with God's people. Right? That's where we're at in this chapter. So this is one of those chapters that really needs to be explained to people what is happening. All of us are going to have to make a decision. That is the end of probation. And we are close. And I propose you don't need to make the decision then. You need to be making that decision now. Make it a habit of standing up for God when it's inconvenient. Claim Him when it is inconvenient. Because you a lot of times you do things out of habit. And if you deny Christ, and you deny Christ, and you deny Christ, and then the decision comes, you might just deny Christ out of habit. You don't want to do that. It's not going to save you. This is where we're at. We all got to make the decision. And He's given us time to mold our hearts after Him. He's given us time to be bold, to stand up for Him, to put ourselves in danger if need be, to be ready to give up our life, because this is all training for that moment when you're going to have to make that decision. That's all of us. The whole world is going to have to make the decision. And once you make that decision, do you get to make another one after that? No, it's final. Probation has ended. And you're either on God's side or you're on Satan's side. And that's when those end time events start to happen. And as bad as it's going to be for God's people, it's going to be 1,000 times worse for people on Satan's side. I don't think people realize that. I think a lot of us are scared to go through the time of trouble. You should be scared not to be on God's side when the time of trouble comes, because the plagues and everything that God's going to do, you're going to start seeing God's justice being meted out. And Egypt was just a precursor of what's about to happen. And that's the chapters that are coming up later in Revelation. What's going to happen to those who choose not to serve God, after just trying to save themselves and be a part of family and fall into tradition? So at some point, you've got to stand up and say, I will serve God. I don't care if you kill me. I don't care what you do to me. I love and I serve the God of heaven. All right. Let's bow our heads so we have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for giving those visions to Daniel and to John. Thank you for giving us evidence that we can study history and see your prophecies come true. That we don't even have to go on faith. We can see that it's already happened. So many people in the Bible had to live by faith. They had to believe without evidence that all these things would come true. But we are blessed that we say that they have already come true. Help us and show us how to spread this gospel in a way that people will open up their hearts and their eyes and make a choice for you. Lord, thank you so much for giving us time, even though it seems like all of us are weary and we're tired and we want this thing to end. You give us time out of mercy and love. So, Lord, thank you, and we love you, and we will follow you through the fire if need be. In Jesus' name, amen.